Well, welcome again. Our Old Testament scripture is found in Proverbs 31, verses 10 and following, and it's words of exhortation about a wife and a mother. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She's like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh all the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring praise at the city gates. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, this morning we continue this series, Family Matters, and this morning we want to look at a mother's love. First, I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this second grade teacher who was giving a lesson on magnets, and the next day she decided to hand out a written test, and she included this question: my full name has six letters. The first one is an M. I pick up things. What am I? And she got the test papers back. She was surprised to find that almost 50% of the children answered mother. Well, it's funny, but it's true, isn't it? Mothers pick up things, but they do lots of other things. They do the ordinary things extraordinarily well. There's a wonderful little Dennis Menace cartoon that I remember growing up, and there's a picture of Dennis Menace's mother tucking him in bed, and he looks up in one of his moments of tenderness and says, "How did God know I wanted you for my mother?" The scriptures give some amazing pictures of mothers this morning, and I want to focus on Proverbs 31. It's in the books of Proverbs, which is edited and written by Solomon, one of the wisest people in the world. He wrote a lot of it, but then he also collected wisdom from far and near, and he put them together in this book. And Proverbs 31 is a section that he did not write, and it's the wisdom of a woman to her son by the name of King Lemuel. So in a very real sense, Proverbs 31 is one of the sections of the Bible that we know was basically written by a woman. And there's something else about it, which is it is an acrostic, which means it goes through the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, basically from A to Z in our alphabet, but only in the Hebrew alphabet. And each time it gives a quality of a woman. So basically, it's the ABCs of a great woman written by a woman. But before we do that, I want to just take a moment as we look at this quality that a wife or mother of noble character is precious, and to take a step back for a moment and to look at Jesus in John, the 19th chapter, on what is Good Friday now. And you can imagine Jesus on the cross and the pain and the emotional strain as well as the physical pain he'd been through that day and everything that he was going through. But one of the last things that Jesus did before he died was to make sure his mother was taken care of. Now, most scholars agree that by the time Jesus was in his ministry, that Joseph had died. In that culture and in that time, men married women who were much younger than them. The average lifespan was probably 40, so most people agree that by the time that Jesus went to the cross, his father Joseph, his earthly father, had passed away. And so in the closing moments of Jesus' life, before he dies, there at the foot of the cross is Mary and also John, one of the apostles. And Jesus looks at Mary and says, "Behold your son." Then he looks at John and says, "Behold your mother." And it says from that moment on that John took care of Mary. And isn't it amazing, because just shortly after that, it says that Jesus took a breath and said, "It is finished," and he died. The forgiveness, the grace, and the cross, his earthly work was done. But the last thing that Jesus did before he died was to take care of his mother. And it's interesting, too, that most all the apostles died a martyr's death. John alone it was that lived probably into his 90s, we believe. So Jesus somehow knew that John was the one, in addition to being one of the closest disciples to him, that John was going to be alive to take care of his mother Mary. Now, if Jesus' last concern was his mother, then you and I ought to really pay attention to our mothers and make sure they're taken care of and they receive the kind of adulation that they deserve. And think about some of the great mothers in the Bible. Of course, there's Mary that I just mentioned. There's also Sarah. There's Elizabeth. There's Lois and Eunice, but I want to take a moment and just focus on these qualities in Proverbs 31, a woman of great value. And the first thing is to see that he says this. He says, a wife of noble character, who can find? She's worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. Now, for those of you who are wondering, rubies at this time was actually worth more than diamonds before we were able to cut diamonds. And so this is the most precious gem of the time. And so he's saying this woman, or this mother, this wife of noble character, is of precious value. And then the second quality is that mothers are hardworking and industrious. And I saw this, that sometimes we take the simple things, the easy things, for granted, but this is a beautiful piece on how to bake a cake. It says, preheat oven, get out utensils and ingredients, remove blocks and toys and cars from table, grease pan, crack nuts, measure 2 cups of flour, remove baby's hands from flour, wash flour off baby, remeasure flour, put flour, baking powder, salt in sifter, get dustpan and brush up pieces of bowl baby knocked onto the floor, get another bowl, answer the doorbell, return to kitchen, remove baby's hands from bowl, wash baby, answer phone, return, remove 1/4 inch salt from greased pan, look for baby, grease another pan, answer phone, return to kitchen and find baby, remove baby's hand again from the bowl, take the grease pan, find layer of nutshells in it, head for baby who flees, knocking bowl off table, wash kitchen floor, table, wall, dishes, call baker, and lie down. Well, you think about the simple things that sometimes take extraordinary work when you're a mother. This beautiful part of Psalm 31 says this. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She's like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds a distaff and grasps a spindle with her fingers. Now, if you look at this passage this morning, and it's amazing because the mother's not only cleaning house and doing dishes and doing all kinds of things. She's knitting. She's quilting. She's also gardening and going to market. But there's something interesting here as well. In a time in this culture when women didn't have nearly the opportunities of men, it's pictured this woman takes her savings and goes out and buys a field. Now, you know, it's not easy, as our farmers know, to buy not just a field, but a field that's good. You know, there's good ground and there's not so good ground. So she buys a field, which is a great transaction for that day. Then she plants a vineyard. And then she sees that it's profitable. And so she does trading and all kinds of things. So when you look at this morning, it really lifts up the woman not only as a farmer and a profitable trader, but as a business person, all kinds of great qualities. So as you know, mothers are hardworking and industrious. And then mothers are compassionate and loving. Of course, we know that. And you think about some of the qualities. I saw this. You know you're a mother when you can count the sprinkles on each child's cupcake to make sure they're equal. Your child insists that you read Once Upon a Potty out loud in the doctor's office, and you do it. You hire a sitter because you haven't been out with your husband in ages and spent half the night talking about checking on the kids. You hope that the ketchup is a vegetable because that's the only one that your children eat. You can't bear to give away baby's clothes because it's so final. You hear your mother's voice coming out of your mouth when you say, not in your good clothes. You read that the average 5-year-old asks 437 questions a day, and you feel proud that your child is above average. You say once a day, I'm not cut out for this job, but you know you wouldn't trade it for anything. You know that mothers are loving and compassionate. And this is what it says in Proverbs 31. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She's clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gates, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. There's a lot of care and love and all of that. And you think about those, some of the imagery there, scarlet and purple are sort of the colors of royalty. And so they were very rare and precious. And so this mother not only goes out and sews and does beautiful things, but makes sure the best colors are used for her family because she loves them so much. And there's just tender images. You can think for a moment about some of the times that your mother loved you and took time for you. And you know, we often think about the images, the primary images of the Bible of God as being Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but there's also images that are the maternal about God, and we used one of them in the psalm this morning, and the call to worship about God sort of huddling his children under the shelter of his wings, like a mother bird sometimes shelters her young. And Jesus said this in Luke chapter 13. Jesus said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often have I longed to gather you as children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. And you were not willing. Look, your house has left you desolate. I tell you, I will not see you again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" There's a number of psalms that use that imagery, and so there's a beautiful sense of maternal love also in the image of God. And so mothers are loving and compassionate, and then mothers also have strength and dignity. And you think about it for a moment, there's this short phrase in Proverbs 31 that says this, "She's clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come." I think some of the women in the Bible who had an incredible strength. And think about Moses' mother, who's believed to have the name Jochebed. And she isn't the focus of the story of Moses, but where would Moses be without his mother? Think how she risked her life, and she had Moses. She didn't throw him in the Nile, and she hid him as long as she could, but then she had the faith and courage, and she took a basket and made it out of bulrushes, and then she covered it with tar, which would have waterproofed it for the day, and then she put Moses in the basket of bulrushes and then pushed it into the Nile River, and she couldn't bear to look at it, and so she had her friend look for her, but she knelt down and prayed, and she cried out to God, and God heard her prayer, and then in the most miraculous way, then Pharaoh's daughter saw this, heard this baby in the bulrushes and this little basket, and so she had one of her servant girls pick it up, and then in a beautiful moment, why she fell in love, and then God provided that Moses' mother would be his tutor and his nursemaid throughout his young days and growing in Pharaoh's household, and in the shadow of Pharaoh would educate him in ways that would help him to understand both the traditions of Egypt and the Pharaoh and also the traditions of his Hebrew heritage that would give him the wisdom he needed later to lead the Israelites from slavery to freedom. You think, too, for a moment about Mary's strength and dignity, and we often think of her in Bethlehem when Jesus was born and the beauty of that and the strength of that, but there's also Mary's strength at the cross. Mary was one of the few disciples, many of the apostles didn't even make it there except for John, but Mary was there at the foot of the cross. And you know, there was a couple years ago when we took a trip to the Shrine of the Passion of Christ and up in St. John's, Indiana, and there's this beautiful kind of trail up to these crosses on the hilltop, and along the way there's these bronze statues, and you see these amazing pictures of Jesus and the suffering that he went through. But one of the most amazing things as you go along that journey is there's a number of those pictures, a number of those sculptures that have Mary sculptured as well. And you see, then when Jesus is first picking up his cross, that Mary is there, and she's looking at Jesus, and she's offering him both love and strength just in her glance. And you know that Jesus is looking at her because it's probably the only place that he saw love and strength in his life in that moment. And there's Mary when Jesus is on the cross, and she's at the foot of the cross. And then there's that incredible statue, and you've probably seen Leonardo da Vinci's Pietà and some of the sculptures, but there's that beautiful sculpture, and Mary is there with the slain body of Christ, and she's holding Jesus tenderly in his moments before they take him to the tomb. And so we see in Mary not just love, but also strength and dignity in a powerful way. And then mothers offer wisdom. Mothers offer so much wisdom. It says this in Proverbs 31, and remember, this is the book about wisdom. It says in verse 26, "She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of the household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all." Here's a beautiful piece on the reflections of a mother that I think has wisdom in it. It says this, "I gave you life, but I cannot live it for you. I can teach you things, but I cannot make you learn. I can give you directions, but I cannot be there to lead you. I can give you freedom, but I cannot account for it. I can take you to church, but I cannot make you believe. I can teach you right from wrong, but I cannot always decide for you. I can buy you beautiful clothes, but I cannot make you beautiful inside. I can offer you advice, but I cannot accept it for you. I can give you love, but I cannot force it upon you. I can teach you to share, but I cannot make you unselfish. I can teach you respect, but I cannot force you to show honor. I can advise you about friends, but I cannot choose them for you. I can advise you about sex, but I cannot keep you pure. I can tell you the facts of life, but I cannot build your reputation. I can tell you about drink, but I cannot say no for you. I can warn you about drugs, but I cannot prevent you from using you. I can tell you about lofty goals, but I cannot achieve them for you. I can teach you about kindness, but I cannot force you to be gracious. I can warn you about sins, but I cannot make you moral. I can love you as a child, but I cannot place you in God's family. I can pray for you, but I cannot make you walk with God. I can teach you about Jesus, but I cannot make Jesus Lord of your life. I can tell you how to live, but I cannot give you eternal life. I can love you with unconditional love all of my life, and I always will love always your mom. You know, mothers offer incredible wisdom in life, and I know I just challenge you for a moment to think about the wisdom that your mother has offered you in life, and maybe you've seen in other mothers. I know there's points in my life I look at, and I have a lot to account for in my own life as a young man, and even today I look to my mother for wisdom. But I remember at a time in my life, we grew up in Pennsylvania. We grew out in the country, and we had a pond. It was about 3/4 of an acre big, and so our big thing was to have the neighbors over to swim, and we just had a great time. And my mother didn't often swim. She didn't really get in the water too much because she couldn't swim, but she did sometimes have a bathing suit on. And one of the things about my mother, she wore a very conservative bathing suit, but my mother has a lot of burn scars on her back and her midsection. And for me, as a young person in a culture that looks at physical beauty so much, why that would sometimes embarrass me, seeing my mother with these, you know, horrible scars on her back and her midsection. And I think one time my mother saw me looking at those scars. You know, mothers know and can read your mind and your heart sometimes. And she told me a story about her mother. She said, you know, when I was young and I looked at my mother's hands, they were horribly scarred. And sometimes that would embarrass me when she'd go to school and the kids would see that. And then so one day my mother saw me and looking at her hands, and I said, you know, where did you get your burns from? And so she told me this story. She said, well, when you were just young, you were just a few years old, you had a dress on and it was cold and you got too close to the gas heater next to the window, and all of a sudden your dress caught on fire, and so I threw you to the ground and I beat the flames out on your dress, and so that's why my hands are scarred that way. And then I realized when she said that, it was like an image of me. She knew in that moment that I was looking at her scars and she was kind of imparting some wisdom to me. And I said, well, you know, do your scars hurt? And she said, well, not anymore, they don't, but they did when I was pregnant and my skin was stretching, and particularly during birth. And I said, well, what did you do? And she said, well, I just realized that I was bringing life into the world, and that made it all worthwhile. And in that moment, it not only transformed my image of my mother and scars and what that means in life, but I think, too, it gave me an image that was deeper than physical appearance for women and for all of us, that sometimes the scars are the most noble parts of our life. And I think, too, that became an image for me of faith. You think about Christ, and I think probably for all of us, when we get to heaven, the scars that we have on this life, both our physical scars and probably the scars that are in our heart, will disappear. And the only scars that we'll know are the scars that made Jesus recognizable to his disciples afterwards. They'll be the scars of Jesus. And those are scars of love. And so that brings us to the last quality. Mothers not only have wisdom, they have faith. And they build faith in our hearts and lives. And it says this in Proverbs 31, in the close of this great chapter on wisdom and the greatest book on wisdom ever. It says this: charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise to the city gate. Think about that for a moment. The last couple of verses of Proverbs, this great book of wisdom, the last chapter is on woman, and the last verses are about faith and credit that a woman deserves. Earlier, Don read that beautiful verse from 2 Timothy chapter 1, and I want to read it again, because Paul is in this closing book, which may have been the last book that he ever wrote in his life, to his son in the faith who he poured his life into. He writes Timothy about encouraging in the faith, and he mentions his mother and his grandmother. And Paul writes this: I thank God whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience. As night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I reminded you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and a love and a self-discipline. You know, Paul, this great apostle, reminds Timothy how important his faith is, but Paul doesn't credit himself with Timothy's faith. Paul credits his mother and his grandmother because they were the ones who poured their faith and life into young Timothy. And then Paul encourages him and reminds him of that faith. And I think for most of us, whether our mothers are alive or if they've gone on to their eternal reward, this will remind us that that seed of faith that our mothers poured into our life is one of the most important things. And as mothers, I think we're reminded that our legacy of faith is one of the most important things, and to fan that into flame. Joe Gibbs in the Men's Bible has this wonderful little reflection about praising your wife. And this is Joe Gibbs, who is the coach for the Washington Redskins and also, of course, has a great NASCAR team. And he writes this. He says, "My wife, Pat, is perfect for me and always has been. During our long relationship after meeting in high school, we had our ups and downs and our fights. But we always knew we would wind up married, best friends and partners for life. She has a great sense of humor and a great gift of gab. We enjoy each other and we enjoy life. I can't imagine life without her. In the eyes of the world, she's in the background. Her work is not visible and thus to some people not as important. But my work would be nothing without a wife like hers. What most people don't realize is that something is as true in my family as in most any man's family. What our lives do and have done is much more valuable in terms of eternity than anything we could ever do. The years from now, my name may appear in the Redskins Hall of Fame because my teams have won a lot of football games. That will be my legacy. By then, I will be a fan, going to games and cheering alongside with everyone else. I have no illusions about that. But Pat's accomplishments, unknown to most people, I will be honored for eternity. She's been father and mother to our boys while I spent months leaving the house early and getting home late, investing my life in a game." He gives the final praise to moms. I want to close with this wonderful little writing by Irma Bombeck. She writes about the creation of mothers. "When the good Lord created mothers, he was into his sixth day of overtime, and an angel appeared and said, 'You're doing a lot of fiddling around on this one.' The Lord replied, 'Have you seen the specs of this order? She has to be completely washable, but not plastic. Have 180 movable parts, all replaceable. Run on black coffee and leftovers. Have a laugh that disappears when she stands up. A kiss that can cure anything, from a broken leg to a disappointing love affair. And 6 pairs of hands.' The angel shook his head slowly and said, 6 pairs of hands? No way. 'It's not the hands that are causing me the problem,' said the Lord. 'It's the 3 pair of eyes that mothers have to have. One pair that she sees through closed doors when she asks, "What are your kids doing in there?" when she already knows. Another in the back of her head that sees what she shouldn't, but what she needs to know. And of course, the ones in front that look at a child when he goose up and says, 'I understand and I love you,' without so much as uttering a word. I'm so close to creating something so close to myself. Already I have one who heals herself when she's sick, can feed a family of 6 on 1 pound of hamburger, and can get a 9-year-old to stand under a shower. Not only can she think, she can reason and compromise." Finally, the angel bent over and ran his finger across the cheek of a mother and said, "There's a leak. I told you that you were putting too much into this model." "That's not a leak," said the Lord. "It's a tear." "What's it for?" said the angel. The Lord replied, "Well, it's for joy, sadness, disappointment, pain, loneliness, and pride." "You're a genius," said the angel. With a somber look on his face, the Lord said, "I didn't put it there." And that last phrase of the greatest book on wisdom in the Bible, probably in the world, says this: we should give honor and praise to our mothers. And so it's Mother's Day. And I challenge all of us to appreciate our mothers and all the legacy they've given us, all the love they give us now and in the future, and to honor them today, and to realize they're one of the greatest gifts that God has given us. So remember that the greatest book on wisdom, chapter probably written by a woman, encouraging sons to pick the right woman, says some incredible things about women, that they're noble character and they're more precious than the most valuable jewels. They're hardworking and industrious. They're compassionate and loving. They have a sense of strength and dignity, and they've got wisdom, and most of all, they have faith. All these are gifts that we should treasure. Would you join me in prayer? Gracious Lord, thank you for mothers, for the great gifts that you've given us in life. Help us to treasure their love. Help us to treasure and honor them today, but each and every day of our life. Help us to support and encourage them. We pray especially for our mothers this day that if they're discouraged or anxious, you just lift their hearts and help them to know how wonderful and valuable they are. Help us to treasure their love. And we pray for all of us. You help us to celebrate mothers, not just today, but each and every day, through Christ our Lord. Amen.